led the guard and police officer out and locked the front door carefully behind them. "Very good," Ostrom said, rubbing his hands together lightly, as if pleased by the transaction. "Now, Dr. Felder and I will show you to your room. I think you'll find it quite nice."
"I have no doubt that I will, Dr. Ostrom," Constance replied. "You're very kind."
They made their way down a long, echoing corridor, Dr. Ostrom explaining the rules at Mount Mercy and expressing hope that Constance would find herself comfortable with them. Felder shot a private glance at Constance. Anyone would find her an unusual woman, of course. The old-fashioned diction, the unreadable eyes that seemed somehow older than the face they were set in. And yet there was nothing about her looks or her manner that could prepare one for the truth, that Constance Greene was deeply insane. Her presentation was unique in Felder's experience. She claimed to have been born in the 1870s, to a family long gone and forgotten, save for scattered traces in public records. Most recently, she had returned by ship from England. During the voyage, she had, by her own admission, thrown her infant son overboard because, she'd insisted, he was the embodiment of evil. In the 2 months since he'd become involved with her case, Felder had, first at Bellevue, then at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility, continued his analysis of Constance. And while his fascination with the case had only sharpened, he had to admit that he'd made no progress at understanding either her or her illness. They waited while an orderly unlocked a heavy metal door, then they turned down another echoing passage, at last stopping before an unmarked door. The orderly unlocked this in turn, and Dr. Ostrom ushered them into a small room, windowless and sparsely furnished. All the furniture, bed, table, single chair, was bolted securely to the floor. A bookcase was fixed to one wall, containing half a dozen volumes. A small plastic flower pot containing daffodils from the hospital's garden sat on the table.
"Well," Ostrom asked, "what do you think, Constance?"
The young woman looked around, taking in everything.
"Perfectly satisfactory, thank you."
"I'm pleased to hear that. Dr. Felder and I will give you some time to settle in. I'll send a matron by with more appropriate attire."
"I'm much obliged to you."
Constance's gaze settled on the bookcase.
"My goodness, Cotton Mather's Magnalia Christi Americana, Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, Richardson's Clarissa. Aren't these great Aunt Cornelia's books?"
Dr. Ostrom nodded.
"New copies of them. This used to be her room, you see, and your guardian asked us to purchase the books for you."
"Ah." For a moment, Constance flushed with what appeared to be pleasure.
"It's almost like coming home."
She turned to Felder. "So nice to carry on the family tradition here." Despite the warmth of the room, Felder felt a cold thrill of dismay course down his spine. Chapter 9. Lieutenant Vincent D'Agosta stared down at his desk, trying not to feel depressed. Ever since he'd come off sick leave, his boss, Captain Singleton, had placed him on modified duty. All he seemed to do was push paper from one side of the desk to the other. He glanced out the door into the squad room. There, people were busily coming and going. Phones were ringing, criminals were being processed. Stuff was happening. He sighed, glanced back down at the desk. D'Agosta hated paperwork. But the fact was, Singleton had done it for his own good. After all, just half a year ago, he'd been lying in a hospital bed in Baton Rouge, fighting for his life, a bullet having nicked his heart. He was lucky to be alive at all, let alone vertical and back at work. Anyway, desk duty wouldn't last forever. He just had to fully recover his old strength. Besides, he told himself, he should be looking on the bright side. His relationship with Laura Hayward had never been better. Almost losing him had changed her somehow, softened her, made her more affectionate and demonstrative. In fact, once he was back to 100%, he was seriously thinking of proposing. He didn't think the average relationship counselor would recommend getting shot in the chest, but it had sure worked for him. He realized somebody was standing in his office doorway and glanced up to see a young woman staring back at him. She was maybe 19 or 20, petite, dressed in jeans and an aging Ramones t-shirt, a black leather bag studded with small metal points hung from one arm. Her hair was dyed a severe black, and he could see a tattoo on her upper arm peeking out from beneath her shirt, which he recognized as an M.C. Escher design. A goth. "Can I help you, ma'am?" he asked. Where was the damn secretary to screen these people? "Do I look like a ma'am to you?" came the reply. DeGusta sighed. "What can I do for you?" "You're Vincent DeGusta, right?" He nodded. She stepped into the office. "He mentioned you a few times. I'm usually bad with names, but I remembered that one because it was so Italian." "So Italian," DeGusta repeated. "I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that where I come from in Kansas, nobody has a name like that." "The Italians never made it that far inland," DeGusta replied dryly. "Now who's this he you mentioned?"
"Agent Pendergast."
"Pendergast?" DeGusta couldn't keep the surprise out of his voice.
"Yep, I was his assistant out in Medicine Creek, Kansas. The still-life serial murders?"
DeGusta stared. "Pendergast's assistant?" The girl was delusional.
"He must have mentioned me. I'm Corey Swanson."
DeGusta frowned. "I'm vaguely familiar with the still-life killings, but I don't recall him mentioning your name."
"He never talks about his cases. I drove him around, helped him scope out the town. With that black suit and all, he stuck out like a sore thumb in... he needed an insider like me."
DeGusta was surprised to hear this, but realized she was probably telling the truth, if exaggerated. "Assistant?" He found his irritation give way to a darker emotion. "Come in," he said belatedly. "Have a seat." She sat down, metal jingling, and swept back her raven hair, revealing a streak of purple and another of yellow. DeGusta leaned back in his chair, carefully disguising his reaction. "So, what's up?"
"I'm in New York for the year. Got here in September. I'm a sophomore.